Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be with you once again. Happy Friday to you and Happy New Year. Hope that wherever you and your loved ones are listening, that y'all are having a great start to the new year. It's great that 2020 is in our rearview mirror. Obviously, still plenty of things going on that we're all having to deal with. But as I stated yesterday, hope that you, your family, friends, y'all are all in a position to make the most of whatever situation you find yourself in, and hope that plenty of hopes and blessings are on your way, to start the year. This is our second edition of a new concept here at Locked On Grizzlies. I like to call the Nitty Gritty Grind Session. It's just an exclusive game preview for the Grizzlies' upcoming games. In this case, it'll be the Charlotte Hornets, a condensed podcast version. Two parts to it. We look at the opposing team versus the Grizzlies with the Grizzlies on defense to start out. And then in the second segment, we'll look at the Grizzlies on offense versus their opposition on defense. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC on Twitter, the podcast wherever it's available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you choose to listen to your podcast. And we ask that you listen, review, subscribe, let us know what you think. Next week, I'll actually have a segment of a show exclusively and specifically looking at a request from one of our frequent listeners. I'm glad that he reached out, but just explaining a few things were going on before the season, just to get a better understanding of some players on the roster and their contract situations. We will discuss that next week. But as far as today goes, the Grizzlies are facing a team in the Charlotte Hornets who, even with Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow out, with the Grizzlies coming into the season, this seemed like it may have been one of the easier games for the Grizzlies, obviously, to win. But a few factors now, unfortunately, have made it to where that's not the case anymore. Obviously, the health of the Grizzlies. And, we learned today that Grayson Allen probably will be out for this game. But just to be honest, the Charlotte Hornets, though they're missing Cody Zeller, they have emerged. I don't necessarily want to call them a surprise, but they certainly have emerged as, being a bit better of a team than many had thought. Gordon Hayward's come right in. He certainly has established his spot, given some more veteran consistency to this team. But they certainly appear to be deeper. And the thing about the Hornets is that they don't even have their best player from last year, Devontae Graham, going as of yet. But they are definitely a deeper team than many people would have thought, and they certainly seem to be a team that will be right there in terms of that play-in discussion, at least, as the season goes forward. But when you look at the Charlotte Hornets, the thing that stands out about them is certainly their perimeter play, both from their guards and from their wings. And they've had a few players who, there have been, hopes that some of their young players that they had invested in, in recent years who had struggled a bit, especially Miles Bridges, that those players would step up and start to produce, and that certainly has been the case, giving this team some balance, some depth, and some consistency, and it certainly has shown through so far. The big thing about the Hornets that stands out is their perimeter play. right now, they are 9th in the league in three-pointers per game, and they are 10th in the league in three-point percentage. They average 13.5 threes, and they make nearly 38% of their threes. So the story to their success so far this year has certainly been their three-point play, and unfortunately, right now, that is not music to the Grizzlies' ears. That, unfortunately, is something that the Grizzlies have struggled with so far this year. Of course, with Jaren Justice and now DeAnthony Melton out, even Ja with his improving defense out, the Grizzlies have struggled on that end. Now, they certainly do have the ability, they still have some players in play, Kyle Anderson, Dylan Brooks, that certainly can, contest some threes. But as we saw against the Celtics made some tough shots even when the Grizzlies did contest them. So it's going to be another game in which the Grizzlies really, really have to focus on the production of the Hornets shooters from outside, because you've got Gordon Hayward, Miles Bridges is doing well. As a matter of fact, right now, the Hornets have five players right now who are averaging 1.5 threes or more. Basically, they have five players who are averaging two or more threes per game. And Gordon Hayward actually is the one who's averaging the least. Terry Rozier is hitting nearly four threes per game. Devontae Graham and Miles Bridges are hitting 2.5. LaMelo Ball is hitting 2. And Gordon Hayward is hitting just under 2 threes per game. So that's the thing about it, is that even if you were to, contain one of their shooters, say for instance the Grizzlies were able to make it to where Gordon Hayward were to struggle, when you still have four or five other shooters who easily can get going from beyond the three-point line. And that's the thing about it. The thing that really stands out about this Hornets team is the depth of their distance shooting, and so far this year, even with Devontae Graham's struggles, they certainly have been very productive when it comes to the three. The one area where the Grizzlies may be able to allow for themselves to extend a bit out than they usually usually would, is that this team is not strong in terms of its post, in terms of being on the block and in the post and scoring. P.J. Washington is having a pretty decent year himself. He's averaging 11.8 points and 6 rebounds per game. But the thing about it is that beyond him, they do have Bismack Biyombo and Jalen McDaniels and a few other players, but this team does play small, and so the Grizzlies will have a bit of an advantage, I feel, especially with Jonas Valanciunas, Brandon Clark, and Gorgui Dieng down in the blocks when it comes to being able to defend the rim. So I think that the Grizzlies are going to have enough, you know, size for them to where they can trust the person protecting the rim, thus allowing for the other four defenders to be able to get out and really defend the three. And I think that's what the Grizzlies are going to have to do. If the starting lineup tonight is something such as Tyus Jones, perhaps it's Jones, Dillon, Anderson, Clark, and then Jonas, or it could be that Bane is starting in place of Grayson Allen. Whomever it is between Clark and Bane joining Brooks, Tyus, Anderson, and Jonas, that person is going to have to focus on the perimeter. And if the Grizzlies can stay disciplined, stay in their spots, and allow for themselves to be able to focus on limiting the three-point shot, that certainly is going to be a development. But one other thing that is helping this Hornets teams out is something that we're familiar seeing here in Memphis, and that is passing the ball, especially with the depth that they have of LaMelo coming off the bench, and they'll have different rotations. You know, the thing about the Hornets is that it's not just their shooting from the perimeter, it's also their passing. Right now, they lead the league in assists at 30 per game, and if you ask some people, they lead the league in highlight assists as well, because of course LaMelo Ball is, you know, starting to take the lead a bit by storm when it comes to highlight plays, obviously showing his immense talent. But that's another thing that's going to make it hard for the Grizzlies, is that it's not just that the Hornets can hit their shots, they're going to use their passing to be able to find good shots. So that's why the Grizzlies are going to have to stay disciplined. They do not have the luxury, they do not have the room for error in this game to sell out for defending the three-point shots or contesting the three-point shots, because the Hornets team is very disciplined, and if they know someone is coming to attack the three, if someone is closing out, they're going to make the extra pass to get the open shot. So the Grizzlies really, really have to stay disciplined. So that's the key for Memphis on defense versus this Charlotte offense. They're going to have to stay disciplined. They're going to have to be perimeter focused. The fact that the Grizzlies do have Clark, Dieng, and Jonas Valanciunas that they can trust, especially with Valanciunas' improvement at guarding the rim, the Grizzlies probably can, you know, trust that size advantage a bit more to where they can stay a bit more perimeter focus, but whoever is not guarding the rim, the other four members of the Grizzlies are going to have to stay disciplined, they're going to have to stay aggressive without fouling, and they're really, really going to have to do all that they can to contest as many shots as possible without giving themselves up out of the play, and that opens up another opportunity for the Hornets to get open. One other thing, though, that does potentially help the Grizzlies out in this game, the Hornets right now are second to last in the league when it comes to shooting free throws, which is a very, very good development for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies have done a bit better job over the past two games preventing teams to get to the line. It really helped them in that game against the Nets. This Hornets team is probably closer to the talent of that Nets team without KD and Kevin Durant than the talent that the Grizzlies faced against the Celtics. So even if the Grizzlies were to run into a bit of foul trouble, hopefully they won. But one area where the Grizzlies potentially can gain an advantage, and hopefully will by being able to stay disciplined and not foul, is at the free throw line. Even if the Hornets do get to the free throw line, they're not that great at making them. So definitely a task at hand. Probably not as much individual talent as the Grizzlies have faced between the Hawks and the Spurs and the Celtics, but for sure. But a very, very productive team concept so far for this Hornets team when it comes to setting up their offense with passing and being able to shoot the ball from the perimeter. It's helped them in some close games so far. And if the Grizzlies cannot find a way to effectively defend the three, at least for a good part of the game, it's going to be another hard task for them to earn a victory with how good of a shooting team this Hornets team can be. But with the Grizzlies, while their strengths may be different from the Hornets when it comes to the offense, the current structure of the Hornets roster may really allow for the Grizzlies to find success when it comes to playing to their strengths on offense. Coming up, I'll explain how the Grizzlies may be able to get back to what worked for them so well last year in order to stay in and hopefully win this game tonight. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast in the second edition of the Nitty Gritty Grind Sessions, just our condensed podcast game preview concept where we look at the offense and defensive matchups for the Grizzlies against their upcoming opponents. Well, think about it as this, is that as good as the Hornets are when it comes to their ability to shoot and their ability to pass, they also have been very good when it comes to the ability to defend the three. They are allowing a lot of threes per game, but that's naturally because other teams are likely having to shoot the threes to keep up with the pace that the Hornets are shooting the threes at. But the thing about this Hornets team, the strength of their team being their perimeter play, their offense certainly is predicated on their ability to shoot the three, but their defense is also predicated on their ability to defend it, and they've done a pretty decent job. Right now, they are ninth in the league when it comes to defending three-point shots, and so the Grizzlies right now are shooting 31% from three, so they're facing a top-10 team when it comes to defending the three in terms of accuracy. That does not bode well for the Grizzlies, obviously. Also, when it comes to the Hornets, they're 11th in general when it comes to, you know, limiting field goal percentage, and they're 9th in points allowed per game. But the two big things that stand out, number one, obviously, is the Hornets' ability to defend the three. And when it comes to the Grizzlies' struggles over the past few games, that certainly is something that stands out. The Grizzlies cannot afford to go another 2 of 19. And that's why you may see Desmond Bane inserted in the starting lineup tonight, because he's been the most consistent threat the Grizzlies have had from beyond the arc. And especially with the Hornets' ability to shoot the three, the Grizzlies, it's not going to be advantageous for the Grizzlies to try to keep pace with the Hornets. The Grizzlies are going to have to play within themselves. They're more of a team that's going to find production in the paint. We'll get into that in just a second. But they are going to have to find some way to be able to get the threes going, especially with one of their better sources in Grayson Allen out. A big-time development would be Tyus Jones being able to refine his shot so that the Grizzlies can have multiple sources on the court at all times, because besides Desmond Bane in this game, it's just hard to see the Grizzlies having a reliable source that's going to be able to shoot the three. However, though they may not be able to shoot the three that well, and that's where Charlotte, you know, has good success on defense, the other place where Charlotte has found a lot of success is when it comes to turnovers. They're forcing nearly 18 turnovers a game. They're one of the top five teams in the league in forcing turnovers by their opponents. And of course, we know that's really, really what hurt the Grizzlies' last game against the Boston Celtics, in which they had 22 total turnovers and the Celtics were able to score 36 points off of that. If the Grizzlies do that again, it's going to be nearly impossible for them to win the game. They just don't have the talent to overcome beating themselves or committing a ton of errors. They just don't have that room for error. And so the Grizzlies are going to have to take care of the ball. Just like the Hornets find success passing, the Grizzlies are going to have to rediscover their ability to pass the ball with Kyle Anderson and Tyus and others. John Concher did a great job passing the ball last game. The turnovers are going to have to be limited as far as the Grizzlies go. Otherwise, if Charlotte gets hot from three, the Grizzlies have a very good chance of finding themselves down early. But if the Grizzlies are able to limit their turnovers, and they are able to use their passing, one area where they can find some success is in the paint, especially when it comes to featuring Brandon Clark, Jonas Valanciunas, and Gorgui Dieng. The Hornets do have Bismack Biyombo and PJ Washington, but beyond that, they do not have, you know, really anybody of size that could handle someone like a Jonas or a Gorgui Dieng. Last game, the Grizzlies got nearly 40 points. They got 37 points from Gorgui Dieng and Jonas Valanciunas. It would be a great night. We thought that we were going to see this against Atlanta, who really only had John Collins playing in the post, but Jonas Valanciunas only got 6 shots. It would be a great night for Jonas Valanciunas to lead the Grizzlies in field goal attempts, because that means that the Grizzlies are finding success utilizing their size down low to get easy looks at the basket. And that's something that is where the Hornets do struggle a bit. They're 20th in the league when it comes to two-point percentage allowed to their opponents. And they also are 20th in the league when it comes to rebounds allowed. So the Grizzlies do have a bit of an advantage when it comes to their ability to rebound, when it comes to their ability to produce in the paint. And if they can get to the free throw line on a consistent basis, as I mentioned last segment, they could potentially find an advantage getting to the free throw line. It's never good when the strength of your approach is focused on the twos and the strength of the other team's approach is focused on the threes. If the Hornets have a good night shooting from three, it possibly could be another long night for the Grizzlies. However, the big thing for the Grizzlies on offense is to not to try to replicate what the Hornets do too well because it doesn't play to the Grizzlies' strength on offense. Their strength is getting into the lane. Like I say, I mentioned in the podcast yesterday that one big development and one concerning trend that continues is Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark's struggles. If Brandon Clark were to play like he did in the second half against the Nets for the entire game tonight, especially if he gets 25 or more minutes of run, that'll be a huge development because he really will be able to find some success, I think, down low with his efficiency and with his hops. I think that there's a good chance he could do good on putbacks, his floaters, things such as that. And then Tyus Jones finding his range again, hitting a few threes, allowing for himself to be an option to where, you know, once he sets up the offense, people could throw back to him as a catch and shoot opportunity. That will especially be great with Grayson out. So I think the big key, two big keys for the Grizzlies tonight are focusing on the paint, establishing success there, featuring their strengths there, because that is something that when they were going last year, they really were able to find success in the paint. Establishing that early, letting Jonas Valanciunas lead the team in field goal attempts because of his size and his advantage at the rim, but also through that, hopefully finding some high percentage shots from threes. But really, really the big key tonight, I feel, is getting Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark going, because that's going to be the support the Grizzlies need to support Jonas and hopefully, you know, and other outbursts from Kyle. I do think that it's going to have to be, you know, Jonas and one of Kyle and Dylan are both going to have to score 20 or more points at least. And then the Grizzlies are going to have to get double-digit points from Tyus or Brandon Clark or whomever of Dylan and Kyle doesn't score 20. The others are going to have to score 10 or 15. Someone's going to have to step up to support Jonas as an offensive contributor. But at the end of the day, I think Jonas needs to lead the team in field goal attempts. And if he gets to the line, that really will allow for the Grizzlies to hopefully establish an advantage there with his ability to shoot the free throw. But also, the Grizzlies really need to see Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark get their rhythm back, because getting 20 or more points combined from them, you know, plus a few assists from Tyus and some good rebounding and defense from Brandon will go a long way. I do think that the Grizzlies have a good chance at winning this game. Obviously, I feel that they're going to be an underdog going into it, but if the Grizzlies can just simply play to their strengths, play within themselves, and limit their mistakes, I do think that they can find a way to win. Will it be surprising? Yes, but I certainly don't think that this is going to be as tall of a task as we, you know, had on Wednesday night, or we will have coming up this week when we play the Lakers twice. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. You can find the podcast wherever they're available. We can't thank you enough for listening. Hope that you have a great start to your new year. Enjoy the college football playoff. Enjoy the Grizzlies. And we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.